along the way. New liturgy this morning. You have it in your hands now, right? Great. I'm wondering this Advent. Actually, I'm wondering this all the time if you're ever around me in Advent. It's especially bad. But I'm wondering how we got from here to here. Anybody else wondering that? Yeah. I actually have a very simple explanation. I think we got from here to here because human beings have really poor memories. I think we have bad memories. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. But we do need reminders and signs to help us remember why we do the things that we do. And some signs and symbols are stronger than others and used more often than others, and so we have an easier time remembering the things, why we do the things that we do. See, we are creatures who thrive on ritual and repetition. Ritual and repetition and visual reminders are our friends, and they help us remember why we do the things that we do. So when I show you this symbol, you're immediately connected to Remembrance Day, right? And but the symbol itself is not enough to connect us there. We also need our rituals of remembering, because without our rituals, when we see the poppy, we can begin to think that we're glorifying war, right? So we need our rituals of remembering the horrors of war and those who died in its horrific wake. And we need to not forget them. We need to remember so that we can keep diligently working for the things that make for peace, not just in our own city, in our own country, but around the world, so that when we see the poppy and we connect it with our rituals of remembering, we stay grounded. So, you know, every time we get to Remembrance Day and I start remembering the war, I'm horrified. Is anybody horrified with me? Yeah, it's remembering this horror and ritually enacting the remembrance that keeps us from being a warring people and glorifying war. But what happened here? In short, we Christians have really good symbols, but not such great rituals. We haven't been stellar at practicing our rituals. In fact, what happened is our rituals basically just lived inside the walls of the church and not in our hearts and not in our homes. So that gradually, what we know is the greatest gift to humankind, and that is specifically God becoming one of us, coming as one of us, coming to one of us, to us, just where we are, just as we are, that huge, great gift of grace and mercy slowly over the centuries devolved into us buying things and giving things to one another. We had the symbol, but the rituals didn't help keep the meaning in our lives, didn't remind us too strongly why we do what we do. And that's not such a bad thing either, because this time of the year, there are millions of people all around the world who don't necessarily know Jesus. What are they doing? They're acting out kindness and generosity and love, and they're giving gifts to one another, and that's not a bad thing. But for we who know Jesus, we've kind of lost our mooring if the manger's not at the center of what we're doing and if it's not driving all that we're doing. So this Advent here in worship, we hope to recover a little more of this so that we can all be trapped a little bit less by that. And to help us do that this first day, I've invited somebody very special to join us. That's right. I've invited Santa. Well, Kris Kringle, Sinterklaas, Father Christmas, Joyeux Noël, St. Nicholas. So please welcome St. Nicholas. You don't look much like that.
You got my name up.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we really wanted you to feel welcome, whichever one you would like, actually.
It just says handbell choir.
Yeah, well, that's for you.
Okay.
I'll sit in the other one that says handbell choir.
Okay.
He's funny. Who knew? Yeah, so you don't look much like that.
I never did. I never did have a pair of white gloves. My beard is nearly like that. I did shave, though, for today.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Well,
I got a question for you.
Uh-oh, this is not on the script. Yeah.
Where are the icons? The icons, where are the icons?
Well, we have a big one.
A cross, yeah, that's nice. I'm glad you got that.
Yeah. It was smart of us, right, to keep
that? It was.
It's also really hard to get that down. It's really heavy and big.
I bet.
Yeah. Well, do you mind telling us about yourself? I mean, you don't look like that, so I'm figuring you must have a really interesting story.
Well, I'm just an ordinary person. As somebody once said, we're all sinners. Mm-hmm. But the good news is that we're all sinners redeemed by the love and passion and death and resurrection of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I sort of stumbled into being a saint. Because one of the, I guess I didn't stumble into being a saint. That's not true. That's the first lie. One of the bishops died, and so they got together to whatever they do to make bishops. I don't know. They decided that God had told them the first one through that door is bishop.
Oh.
And
you got up early that day.
No, I came through the door and I stumbled. So I sort of stumbled into being a bishop.
Oh, yeah.
Now the saint part, I don't know about that. We're all saints, you know.
But why do you think the church gave you that title? I mean, you must have... See, the thing when people are canonized by the church, it's because they have some proven miracles attributed to their name, right? So do you have some miracles?
Well, I got up this morning. At my age, that's a miracle. Yeah.
Or they're good deeds, or something extraordinary.
No, don't talk
right?
about good deeds. I spent my whole life trying to help people, trying to be good to people, but I don't like it when people make a fuss over that, because I do that not to be redeemed, but because I am redeemed.
Right. Yeah, you know, you're kind of like me. You know what I tell people?
What do you tell them?
I tell them, well, don't follow me because I'll lead you off a cliff.
Oh, okay.
Right? But I'm just a thirsty sinner and I know where the water is, so I keep pointing to the water, right?
Right. Yeah, that's all we all are, right?
Yeah.
But you have a really nice stole, or whatever you call those things.
Oh, thanks. It's nicer than yours. Do you think they'll canonize me?
I don't know. This one's not bad.
I hope not, because if that's what they do to you when you get canonized, that's really...
Oh, well, that guy, I don't know how he snuck in here.
Yeah. So there's a big difference between you and that. How do you think it happened?
Well, I think that somehow along the way, we started putting the emphasis on the things instead of the action of individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there were I think early icons of you, right? And so people probably started worshiping that icon and remembering that icon and losing its connection with the church and the ritual.
Right.
And with the call to do as Jesus did.
Yeah, and that's a mistake.
Yeah. Well, that was pretty loud.
Oh, is that that?
Yeah, you're probably not used to microphones. They probably didn't have those in the 4th century, right?
No, they didn't have microphones there.
So I think it's just like Nicholas is saying, that we all have symbols of things.
Right.
And if we hold onto those symbols, but we forget the thing that they're pointing to or the thing that they're reminding us of,
right,
then we're in real danger and we lose our footing.
It's, this town is called Calgary, right?
Yeah.
It's like stopping at the signboard outside that says Calgary instead of going into town.
Oh, yeah, if you stop at the signboard and say, be part of the energy, and you get out of your car and you go, what energy?
Right.
There must be some energy here. So then you put lights on the sign. And.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Maybe, right?
Maybe that's
what
happens.
That's probably what would happen, right?
Yeah.
If we forgot.
Yeah. But we forget the energy comes from the source.
Yeah.
And the source is not you or I, although it would be nice if we could be. But the source is God through Christ. And I guess the source is people too, you know?
Yeah, you know, he doesn't want me to tell you this, but you know what he's famous for? He was super wealthy, and instead of spending his money on himself, he gave it away to everyone in his community. In fact, there was this time... No, I'm going to talk now. I know you don't want me to. I'm going to talk now. There was a man had three daughters, and he didn't have money to buy dowries for them, and so they were going to be sold into prostitution to make their way.
Right.
And he snuck out in the middle of the night. They had their socks hanging in the window. You know, he was serving in a place that was really humid and hot and smelly, and so people used to put their shoes outside and their socks outside. Not anymore, right?
Not anymore, no.
And he put three bags of gold, one in each of their socks, so that when they got up in the morning, they had a dowry and they didn't have to be sold into slavery.
You didn't have that quite right.
Okay.
Actually, I threw them through the window, but I threw one at a time, and it just happened to land in the sock.
Oh, was the miracle. That's the miracle, right?
Yeah.
But I bet you that's in part what happened. Your stuff landed in their socks, and so then what do we do?
Yeah, what do we do?
Hang socks.
Yeah. Right?
Put things in socks.
On the chimney.
On the chimney. Because I guess that you're supposed to come down the chimney now.
I hope not.
But we
stopped that story short. The one got married, but there still were two more.
Yeah.
So I went back and did it again.
Yeah.
And I hit the sock again. I don't know why I couldn't do that on the basketball court.
I was going to say, you want to be on my softball team?
Yeah. And the last one, the father was waiting by the window and caught me to thank me. Yeah. I don't need thanks. We don't need thanks.
Did you tell him not to tell
anyone?
It's
nice to get though once in a while, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you tell him not to tell anyone?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, we have another friend who knows all about symbols and icons and how they can lose their meaning and misdirect us.
Can I go home now?
No.
Oh, okay.
You have to stay. Okay. Well, you can go home. We can go home anytime you want. We hope you'll stay.
I'll stay.
Right. We have John of Damascus. So everyone...
I can sit down there.
I know. The two of you... I'm going to sit in the middle.
We can't
but I'm gonna
both
get
sit on one.
Too. No, you can't sit on each other's laps.
Oh, my good friend Nicholas. So good
Hello,
to see
John.
You.
Hello, John. It's good to see you.
Blessings. And I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Laura.
I'm John. They call me John of Damascus.
Gosh, this is like a row of comedians up here. So can you tell us something about icons and symbols and losing their meaning and all
icons
that?
And symbols and losing... Yeah. I think in terms of whether something is an icon or an idol. Whether it's an icon or an idol. So what's the difference between an icon or an idol? Because they can look the same. In my day, and I understand still today, people paint icons of saints like St. Nicholas, and they use them, and very often they worship them. And when they start worshiping them as if there's something magic or like a lucky charm or something, then all of a sudden, instead of being something that gets them in touch with God, it becomes an idol that they relate to as having power in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Is that what happened there?
I think so. Let's say that, they're looking back here. This is pretty amazing technology y'all have here. You know, we used y'all back in the Middle East. But if we say that picture of St. Nicholas, or as they say, Santa Claus, that it's a symbol or an icon, what does it point to? And... I think
it points me to the mall.
It points, exactly. And I'm not sure the mall is God. And so then, is it
I'm not so sure.
but certainly something that is supposed to point people toward God. If people relate to it as the thing, then it's really problematic. And so...
Yeah, do you know what they said about this guy? Back in the 4th century, they said that you were a living icon of Christ himself.
Ooh, that's deep.
Yeah, they said you were
that's
living...
scary.
Yeah, well, maybe we can all be that. Maybe we can all be living icons of Christ himself, that we not only point people to the water, but we, with our hands and feet and lives, deliver goodness and relief and help and bring people into communion with God and God's family.
Yeah. But check this out. If we worship him and not the God whom he points to, then we've made St. Nicholas into an idol. And
right.
and that is, in case you're not clear what commandment that is, that's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Don't make any graven images and don't worship them, because God is God alone. And so when we start worshiping something that isn't God, we've turned it into an idol, and then we're breaking the foundation of all the commandments.
How do you know so much about this, John?
Oh, gosh. Back in the 8th century, when I was walking the earth, there was a big conversation about these icons. And there were a bunch of my colleagues there in modern-day Turkey who were sure that people were worshiping the icons of the various saints and hence making them idols and breaking the first commandment. And so their solution was to go through and we need to destroy all the icons because they're idols. And I was a long way from the action. I was in a little place outside of Bethlehem. And when the edict came down, oh, it's really interesting. As they were having this conversation about what to do with the icons, there was a huge volcanic eruption. A volcano erupted. And so the emperor at the time, who was Christian, said, oh, this is a sign from God that we're being sinful. And so he passed an edict that all icons, any kind of image of a saint or anything, an image of Jesus or the Virgin Mary, anything, had to be destroyed. And when I got word of that, I said, no way. We need these things that are tangible, that we can see, to point to and to use as an access and to help us to then focus on God. And so I fought it and fought it, and fortunately they didn't take my life. And eventually, my colleagues and the other Christians recognized that there's nothing inherently wrong with icons or inherently holy. But as long as we do the work of using them to access and to focus on God, then we're using them appropriately, and they are actually a gift. Do you have a Bible here? I hear you had a Bible here. There weren't many around in my time.
You want me to get it? It's
really, yes.
It's really kind of sad that I have to go back here and find it.
Well, you're
oh,
acting
God, it's in the right
as if
plot.
I've been, as if I know my way around this place.
I wasn't acting that way. I hate being accused of things.
I apologize. And so this is our Bible. It can be an icon that points us to God, and we trust that it is. It contains God's word, and that we, when we engage with it, it speaks to us. But if you take this on a shelf and start praying to this Bible that it'll cure your illness or give you $1 million, then it has become an idol, a thing that is given to us, a gift to us by God so that we can know God. And so the work to do is to continuously allow our icons to be icons and point to God and not become idols.
Yeah, so what does this mean for us today?
I think we're never done making sure that we're worshiping God, that the idols and symbols that we have around us, that we don't relate to them as holy, but as gateways. And so I just think we have to keep doing the work so that we don't start worshiping this guy here.
Well,
no,
or
no,
to
no,
even
don't do that.
To turn him into that.
Or
right?
to turn him into that.
What these people all here, I'm getting old. I forgot what I was going to say. It was good.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Can we wait a minute? We'll come back to you.
I don't know what it was, but yeah, and I know. I bet all of them have Bibles at home. Anybody not have a Bible at home? Now, I hope it's not sitting at a prominent place and it's very nice and new. Maybe the best thing to do if they could go home today and take that Bible out and open it. Because we can be, then they become idols if we just set them on the shelves and make sure it's in a prominent place, especially if you're going to visit.
I have one more little thing, that I don't worship matter when I pray to an icon.
You mean the stuff of like carbon and
right.
that stuff?
I don't worship matter. I worship the God that created matter. And I think that's about the best way I can say it. And so when I think of Jesus, this God that took on physical flesh and became matter itself, that's the God who's redeemed me. And that is the God I strive to continue to focus on.
So we want to get here. And not to worship that manger, the wood and the straw, but the child that lay in it. And the gift
right.
of God.
Yeah.
That came to us. Yes.
Yeah. So now, I understand that folks were invited to bring icons or symbols.
Yes. Yes.
And so, Brother Nicholas, would you mind helping me bless any icons that folks brought?
I would be glad to.
Would you mind blessing one that I brought?
Sure.
Oh, thank you. This may be the most unusual icon ever. It's a little utility knife. And in other realms, I'm referred to as the cardboard king.
Uh-huh.
And uh-huh. I learned to cut cardboard working with a woman named Rose Harden, who was a gift of God to me.
Lord God, we thank and praise you for the gift of people and the gift of things. We thank you, O Lord, for this cardboard knife. But most of all, we thank you for the person who has become so adept at using it. Bless this knife, O Lord, that it might always be an instrument to bring praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
So we are going to sing, and if you brought an icon, something that reminds you of someone or keeps you close to someone, if you brought something with you today, you're invited to come during the hymn of the day, and the saints will bless that icon for you. Let's give Nicholas and John of Damascus a sign of our appreciation.
Thank you. Thank you.